It's a gut feeling. Taken to heart and understanding this, Donna Gates has been able to help many, many people change their inner body ecology in order to create a healthier, happier life for themselves. Donna's current book is The Body Boomer Diet, and today we conclude our discussion with her. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries.
And then there's the third type of energy is called chi, or the Japanese would say ki. But, you know, everybody, prana, you know, everybody knows that term, I think, chi. But it's the daily energy. Like if you get up today and you have a really busy day, then you have to create chi for that day. So you need to do things that make more, that will create more energy in your body. If it's, say, Sunday and you've got an easygoing day and no stress, then maybe you don't need to, you know, take the things that create chi, so much chi in your body, because you don't, like for example, if I were going to catch a plane, which I'll be doing on Friday, to go over to a conference in Las Vegas, well, just simply flying and catching a taxi and, you know, getting the hotel and all that, that requires even more energy than a typical day would. So I'll be sure to take more things for my adrenals, like those ancient earth minerals I was talking about. More things for my thyroid. I'll be very, very careful to boost my energy to knowing that I'm going to have to spend more energy that day. Like if I wanted to buy a new car, let's say, I'd have to have the money in the bank, so I'd have to save and boost up the money to go out and buy that car. But we need to think of energy as that in the same way.
We are the first generation to experience the actual assaults of all the chemical since the industrial age have kind of shifted. And I'm wondering about the actual bacteria themselves. Is there a bacteria that was really prevalent 100 years ago and now they're not seeing any of those, but now they're seeing this other kind? Maybe it's the anthropologist in me, but I feel like the strong survive. But I have faith that mankind will adapt. So I'm wondering about the bacteria themselves.
Bacteria are way older than any other life form on the earth. They came first millions and billions of years ahead of any other life form. And actually, bacteria have even been found. They're not just here on earth. They're actually out in outer space already. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've been discovered there, too. So we don't just have them here. That's how ancient, you know, who knows where they come from, sure, or why they're there, but they're there too. And when they, you know, came to the earth, there's a whole theory that believes that life started by the bacteria eventually coming together and then developing an outer wall to create a cell, and the cells coming together over, I'm talking about millions of years passing, so cells coming together, creating organs and other and simple life forms that eventually continue to develop into much more complex life forms. And so if we destroyed ourselves and most, you know, other animals on the earth and plants and everything, the bacteria would still be here to start everything all over again. And they do constantly change. You know, they can now do DNA testing, and we can finally kind of begin to identify bacteria.
Right, that's what I was meaning, the bacteria in our gut that we need for our own health.
Does that change?
Yeah.
Well, actually, if we kill off the bacteria in our gut, let's say you're fortunate to have an inner ecosystem, and then you get sick as a baby, and your mom takes you in, and the doctor gives you an antibiotic, and there goes your inner ecosystem, and it will be wiped out in a day. Some bacteria that were there from the beginning will probably never come back again. Like one that doesn't appear to come back is called Oxalobacter formigenes, and it's a very important bacteria to allow us to digest oxalates in food. So lots and lots of your very best plant foods are rich in oxalates, like spinach. Actually, chocolate is another food that's rich in oxalates. But so if you've lost that bacteria forever, then you won't really do well with oxalates unless there's a few other bacteria that can try to replace it, but nothing Oxobacter only digests oxalates. But so, yes, unfortunately, destroying the inner ecosystem is a bad thing. And then if you have a certain ecosystem in place, like the ecosystem of a baby, say, born to a mother in Sweden would be different from the mother, baby born to a mother, say, in Japan, because the mom's eating different foods in both those countries. So sure, she's going to have different bacteria she's going to inoculate or vaccinate her baby with. So whatever the baby's got for his inner ecosystem, it's kind of his default. And the body will try to go back to that original inner ecosystem as much as it can. For the poor baby that doesn't get a healthy inner ecosystem, then the body defaults back to sort of a poor inner ecosystem. You know, like it's, so that's why eating fermented foods all the time and keeping the probiotic liquids that, you know, cultured vegetables and coconut kefir and the probiotic liquids, the foods that we're recommending, are important to always eat on an ongoing basis, so you always keep this inner ecosystem thriving inside of you. You need to nurture it or tend it the way you would tend a garden.
Yes, of course. It's the perfect analogy. Reading your book, you had so many fascinating facts about new research or unknown research. I was really interested in that story of the miracle mouse. Was very interesting because it was, of course, this mouse that was immune to cancer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it brought up a lot of things about maybe some animals don't live long enough to contract certain diseases, and it just makes you start looking at everything a little bit differently, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's one reason why I've gone back to focusing more than ever on the womb, the period in the womb, because even, like, for example, recently there's been this serious radiation exposure from the incidents in Japan, and so you would think that the Japanese are the ones that are most in danger, but actually every single human and all other life form on the planet will suffer from that accident, that exposure to that radiation, and most of all women who were pregnant at that time, because they know from doing this type of research that these babies will have a more difficult time in life, have more trouble learning, have more trouble reproducing. Usually don't, you know, they're not as successful in what they do. They often don't graduate even from high school. They have many more physical illnesses. Just because, you know, they could be 1,000 miles away from the radiation, and yet that time in the womb has a profound effect on the rest of our life, and then therefore has, so those babies will have a profound effect on society as a whole. We are all affected when our babies are born that are weak, and there are a drain on society instead of a contribution to the society. So really the time that we should be focusing on as far as creating cancer-free people and healthy, strong, happy people that can visualize a planet full of joy, you can actually create babies that come out of the womb that healthy and that happy that you could actually in a generation or two, just totally transform the world that we are living in now.
Yes. Well, science is quite adept at theorizing why we age, and every decade presents its superstars of the theory armed with the latest technological reasoning. And yet, I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. Otto Warburg. He was the only one to have ever won the Nobel Prize for Medicine twice and then was nominated again for the third time. And I love that his research and findings involved very basic common sense information about the oxygenation of the cell and what happens when it dips below approximately 60%. And so science can do its thing, but the basics are still working, and I feel like that's at the basis of what you do with the body ecology. And I'm wondering if there's any bit of scientific research that's really inspired you since you've been involved with this in particular.
You know, it's an interesting thing that you say that, Robin, because what we are offering the world is truly how to build a foundation for wellness. And that's been missing. People are out there taking supplements and doing different therapies and things like that and they don't have a foundation to build upon. So they're not, anything they're doing isn't very effective, and they're not really getting results. But as far as research goes, what I've found, I feel like body ecology was created with a lot of divine grace around it. Looking back over the years, many years actually, maybe 30 years altogether, and the book has been out for over 16 years. But you know, before that, I began creating it, putting it together, and then it continued to evolve, and it still does to this day. It still evolves. But there's something that led me to find answers and find dots of information and be able to connect those dots together and put something all together that makes a lot of sense, even though some of it is not supported by research at all. People say, well, this just makes sense to me. Now I get it. But a lot of it, believe it or not, is heavily backed by research. Like, there's over 7,000 studies just on the importance of, you know, having beneficial bacteria in and on your body. And so, you know, but what I find is more that the, you know, the work is supported by the research, that I don't actually go out and find research that often and bring it into body ecology. It's the other way around. Body ecology is already a system of healing, and I go out and I'm constantly seeing why the system works so well, because the research explains it, you know, it validates it.
When you were speaking of the foundation, there's such a metaphor there. You speak about, well, having the foundation in the gut. There's more of that foundation we need, which is, of course, the Shen, which is acknowledging that there's something more than us, and acknowledging that and knowing that to whatever extent, and then it all sort of falls down from there.
Yeah, I always actually say that is the spiritual form comes first, and then so spirit comes first over the emotional side. Like, our, if you have a lot of negative emotions, you're going to have a hard time getting well. So working on your emotional self is very important to do. Developing your spiritual self is more important even than that, because that's where answers come to you. The more evolved we become spiritually, as individuals or as a community or as a world, the more answers, it will be so much easier to see right from wrong. And because we can see right, we choose and create, you know, a righteous world. So the spiritual Shen comes first. The emotional part of ourself is very important to develop. But then physically, we've got to eat right, or you can't access the spiritual, and you can't access, you won't have the healthy emotional self. So they're really all interwoven, and you've got to be working on all aspects of yourself. So I would like for people to just, you know, find the diet, study it, put it together, work on that, and then forget about how you're eating. You know, I don't think about it very much, just how I eat. But then I work more on developing my emotional self, becoming a more loving person, a more thoughtful person or whatever, and also understanding or developing this spiritual connection, this strong sense that I have in me that, you know, I feel like there is a power out there that we can connect with that does very much guide us and influence us, very much wants us to become healthy at this time, and is giving us lots and lots of answers. And then to, you know, I think the answers that body ecology is providing are like the very essential to know. And then the others will, all the other gems that are available to us right now are going to work better. A perfect example of that is that I've been into following stem cells for a while. They're amazing. They're here now to help us heal and regenerate organs and regenerate the brain. I mean, stem cells are the next. They're here, you know. They're what's going to replace a lot of what we're doing, surgery and drugs and things that we're doing now.
And I'd like to mention that it's a lot of it is adult stem cell. I think a lot of people are thinking, oh, they're just using baby embryos, and that's not true.
Oh no, we're way beyond that. And yes. And even your own stem cells. Our body has a lot of stem cells in it, and yes. You can use your own stem cells to do amazing things. But I was at a conference in Las Vegas, a medical conference, about 6 weeks ago, and that was the biggest. These are all alternative medical doctors. It was the hottest topic. Like, they're all learning about it because that's on its way to us. But here's a really interesting thing to know about the stem cells, because we have children, we have people that are getting them, and I'm following that progress and everything. So the people who go down or get stem cells, they often have to leave the country or go to special research programs here in the U.S. The ones who do best are the ones who are already healthier. In other words, if you go and get the stem cells and you've already brought your candida under control, so there's less infection and inflammation in your body, and you're digesting your foods well, and you're well-nourished, and you've done colonics and gotten rid of toxins out of your body, for example, and then you go for the stem cells, they work so much better and so much faster in that body than there are going to work in a body with a lot of inflammation, a lot of toxicity. So once again, it's the same thing when we broke the code on our genes and we learned, you know, got the recipe for how the human body is created. We looked at the genes and we discovered that, well, you can have the potential, genetic potential, to develop diabetes or breast cancer or heart disease, but if that gene is never expressed, the heart disease never happens, the cancer never happens. And so we control by eating and, you know, thinking right, so you don't have a lot of stress.
Right, yeah, the whole gene thing is just so myopic in my mind. I can't
It always comes down to those basics and that foundation, creating that foundation. So it's vital to do that. It's just vital.
A lot of us are aware, certainly, of the gut being our primal brain. And disease conditions are the greasy wheel of the body, asking us, please take care of something. And when you hear about autistic children, for instance, your mind starts reeling and going, ah, I hear about similar symptoms that maybe aren't as drastic in people that I speak to. And tell us something about the work you've done with autism. You've really been able to make some strides, haven't you?
Well, about 9 years ago, I was drawn into that world. And at that time, everybody was just kind of stuck on the mercury issue. The parents felt that their children were born very normal. I believe they are born normal, except they have, you know, infections and digestive problems. And, you know, they're set up to develop autism, but when they become vaccinated, they become infected by the virus that they've been given instead of vaccinated, and the virus gets in and damages the brain. And there's a lot of proof of that. You know, there's virus has been found, measles virus found in the gut, in the spinal fluid. And so I think I'm right on with how that happens. But so you know, I could see, because I was working with people with digestive problems and severe candidiasis and a lot of the issues that these children had, that at least I could help that way. And over the couple of years with mothers, you know, we started a body ecology diet recovering our kids. The moms are fantastic. They're brilliant women, and they know so much. They really are tuned in with their children. So very quickly, we could get feedback about what was working, and I was always learning from them what is autism and sharing what I knew, and it would work. And so we developed this program called Bedrock. Now, over the years, it's helped thousands of families get some information. It's had a very profound positive influence on the medical doctors who work with autistic children. So today, we began to help, you know, steer people the knowledge. It's much more commonly known. And the Bedrock group is fantastic. You know, the mothers there have had autistic children. They're there helping these parents. We have about over 800 families at the moment that, you know, are getting part of a conversation around learning and being taught. So it's having a positive effect, but there's so much to do and no conversation really out there in the world about preventing autism, and it can be, should be, prevented.
You know, I'd like to acknowledge Dr. Leonard Smith, MD, who is your medical advisor for this book. What piece has he really fed to you that is, obviously you put him in your book, so it's very worthwhile?
Well, I can't remember how long ago we were, another friend that introduced us, and we just are sort of like a male-female version of each other. Like, we both love to do research and share what we know, and we both love to teach, and he's just always been a great friend who's totally, he's brilliant in understanding how the body works, and but also nutrition. And he's just, he's like, he knows the latest research, and so he's a great person. If something's complicated and I can go to them, he'll have a really interesting take on it. I actually am the one that kind of, you know, drew him into the world of autism, and he has such a great heart. You know, he got into that with me right away too, and he's just, you know, when I wrote this book on anti-aging, he's like close to 70, I guess, right now, a little bit older than me, and you know, I think he's 3 or 4 years older than me, but anyway, he, of course, is interested in that subject too, and he always, I thought, you know, that having a medical doctor validate what I'm doing, because, like, I was told that, well, you're not a medical doctor, nobody's going to listen to you, so I thought, well, I'll have Leonard participate in this book with me and drop in all these really interesting bits of information to validate what we're saying in the chapter, but he's just a really special person. I think there's a lot of amazing doctors now that are out there that are not in your typical practice. They're very interested in learning, very interested in helping people, and that's the kind of doctor that everybody should be finding. The more, you know, the more we support doctors like that and go to them for advice and to be, you know, help us with our health care, the more and more doctors are going to come out of school wanting to be like that, and then that's how we're going to transform the medical profession into a better medical profession. It's a business, you know, and if we don't want to buy the drugs and the radiation and the surgery and we want something else, then, you know, go support another type of doctor. But, yeah, I've been very fortunate to have Leonard and other wonderful, probably at least a third, maybe more of my friends these days are medical doctors, and it's so much fun for us. We all have our areas of specialty, and it's kind of all fun to share and have conversations with each other, because there's so much coming, new, fantastic information today that is available, and many of us are getting different pieces of that, so to be able to come together and share is always fun and exciting for us, all of us.
Okay, Donna, there's a person out there listening. They can't get a book, and health food stores just aren't there. What would you suggest as a first step to this person? And obviously, we all know someone could get a book, and they can send away for just about anything these days. But
yeah.
What's a first step for someone who can't call for a consultation? Where do they start?
Well, if people did 3 simple things, if they took out all the bad oils and fats in their diet and they eat the ones we recommend, which are olive oil, and ideally don't cook with it. You can cook with olive oil, but keep the heat low. Raw olive, you know, keep not, like, it's extra virgin olive oil, so you want to keep it extra virgin and fresh. All oils are best in their more raw state, but butter and ghee are excellent. Fish oils are excellent. Coconut oil. You get fats though from egg yolks. What we are very much against are cooked saturated fats. If you eat fish oil, let's say salmon oil, or if you eat a piece of raw salmon sashimi, you're actually going to get better fat from that raw sashimi than you would if you ate cooked, you know, cooked piece of fish. So the more you cook the fat, in other words, the more you lose its value in the body. But we do need a lot of fat. So look in your, you know, refrigerator and pantry and throw out anything that isn't one of those oils. If it, you know, there's people have really bad fats and oils in their canola oil is one to absolutely avoid. Unrefined canola oil is bitter, very bitter tasting. So if you don't taste that bitterness in the product, then you're eating refined canola oil. Popcorn and most of the movie theaters has got that on it. So if people steer away from the bad fats, it's huge. It's a huge improvement in the body. It's one of the areas I'm most strict with myself. I will not eat a bad fat. And then the second thing is to cut down on the amount of sugar you're eating, and or cut it out altogether if you can. Like, I never eat sugar because I don't even want it anymore. Because what I do eat, so here's the third thing. Add something fermented to your diet, fermented vegetables, you know, order one of our probiotic liquids if you want to do something real simple, learn to make the fermented coconut water, but get something fermented in your diet that not like live fermentation, like wine is live wild fermentation. So this means it's got a lot of wild yeast in it. Beer is wild fermentation. Sourdough bread is kombucha, is a wild fermentation. So that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the type of fermented foods that are the healthy bacteria. Oh, it could be from milk. Like, you know, we also recommend taking our kefir starter and putting it into milk and drinking the Russians pronounce it kefir, and yes, we say kefir. But that's a great, it's actually better for you than yogurt if you're into dairy. But put fermented foods in your diet, and then they dampen your desire for sugar. So I literally have zero desire to eat sweets, because if I eat a carrot, it's extremely sweet to me because I eat fermented foods. So it's, and also, if I were to eat something sweet, like an apple or, you know, some kind of fruit, because I'm always eating fermented foods, the microbiota in those foods gobble up the sugar in the carrot, the sugar in the apple, whatever I'm eating. So my body doesn't have the problem with excess sugar, and that's what I would love for everybody to do, is cut down on the sugar, but eat the fermented foods so you don't even want it anymore. And then watch people get thin again. You know, it's ridiculous how we have a weight issue in this country. It's just ridiculous. It's so easy to fix that problem.
Yes, very well said. So bedrock.org is a great site for the autistic.
It's bedrockcommunity.org.
Okay, bedrockcommunity.org. And then
bodyecology.com is the main one to go to. And actually, you can get to anything else through there. We have other sites, too. We have a site on stevia and a site on kefir. But if you go to the Body Ecology Diet, we have years of amazing information archived there to help people. And the main thing is that I hope people don't feel overwhelmed. We do have a tremendous amount of information because you're talking about a whole system of healing here. It's like Ayurvedic medicine or Chinese medicine is a whole system of healing, but you're not supposed to come and do it. You know, just pick a tool or two that looks appealing.
Exactly.
And
just
do that.
Make a start and see where you go. It's definitely better than not.
Yeah, because if you try to do it all, you'll be overwhelmed and you'll fail. So just learn and think, well, I think I'll just do that. I'll start using the stevia or I'll make some cultured vegetables and see what that does. You know, that does amazing things to your digestion. So that's a great place to start, too. And if you're thinking, well, I don't know how to make them, then go on YouTube. There's a lot of people. I think there's even several of me up there showing how to make them, too. So it's easy to do it. It really is. It's new. Some people are afraid to do anything new, but it pays off big time.
The Baby Boomer Diet is Donna Gates's latest book. For any guest information, to listen to archives and share resources, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.